I'm always encouraged to be in the presence of believers. You know, I've been intrigued. The Apostle Paul, you know, he just loved to be with the people of God. He loved to hear what God was doing in everyone's life. He loved to just exhort and consider the word of the Lord. I just want to show you, and this phrase appears in the book of Acts. But this is just the heart of the Apostle Paul. Paul was sailing. He was in a ship unto Phoenicia and went to Cyprus and into Syria and landed at Tyre. And you know what the next verse says? This is just what he did when he landed. It says, and finding disciples. That's just beautiful. That just reveals the heart of the Apostle Paul. I mean, his longing, his passion was just to be with the people of God. And he didn't know where they were. How do you suppose he found them? You know, we find what we want to find. We just ask a few questions, we'll get some direction, and oh, they're down here, and he'll find them. Maybe just the singing of a hymn coming through a window, and up he'd go. That is, I think we need that feeling. When we get together to just love one another, I just heard some of the testimonies of some of you and some of what you've had to go through to find the Lord Jesus, coming out of religion, making the Lord Jesus more precious than family ties and things of earth. Let's be drawn together that way. Let's be encouraged. You know, I'll probably never forget this. This was written on my heart. I was out in Washington. I lived in the state of Washington. And in the town of Richland, there was a church, and I had a friend on a Sunday night. I was a German Baptist, and I had a friend, and he said, there's a church of the Nazarene. He said, they've got some really good singing. He said, I know you don't like to go to church of Nazarene, but he said, I think you'd enjoy this. Would you like to come with me? We didn't have any plans that evening, and this wasn't really too good an idea, maybe for me, but I went. And I got there, and the singing was good, and they had an interesting preacher, but all through the service, there was this fella. And he was down in the front. It's kind of the pews were in a, you know, it was a nice church. And there was this fella down in the front, and he would just, amen! Amen! Praise God! He would say it. I mean, it's just a passion. And it was, I was a German Baptist. We don't do that. And it just was a distraction to me. And this fella, and if anything was mentioned about the blood of Christ or being set free in Christ, I mean, one time he just stood up and he goes, amen! Oh, amen! I mean, he was just, it just got him so going, and it kind of was just offensive to me because I could not concentrate on the singing or the preaching. And I thought, you know, I was going to be a blessing to the pastor of this church. I thought, I'm going to go back. On Monday, I work in Richland. I'm going to go back as pastor, and I'm just going to tell him, I was at your church last night, and I really enjoyed it, appreciated the singing, but that fella. You know, I just thought maybe that pastor would like to know that maybe for some people that might be a little too much, and it's been able to tone him down a little bit, but I did enjoy the service, but and that pastor looked at me, and he said, that man had 6 children. And I saw them. They were all down there with him when he was standing up. He said, that man was a sinner. And he got convicted and he got sent to prison. And his wife left him. And his children left him. And like Job's wife, cursed him. And somehow, in the judgment in prison, he was put on death row. He had no hope in prison. And somehow through a miraculous way, the gospel came into prison. And that man heard the gospel, and he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and put his faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it landed in sincerity in his heart. That was the first miracle. The second miracle was that he got pardoned from death row. And then he got pardoned from prison. And when he got out of prison, his wife came back to him, and his 6 children came back to him, and was sitting around him in this church, and he was glorifying God. And I was this Pharisee sitting back there. And I'm never going to forget what that pastor did to me. I just kept getting lower and lower until you just want to hide. And I've never done it, but I'd like to go back and try to find that man. I never have. I never went back there. It was clear out of my circle. But God caused my heart to know He works in the lives of others. And we can be strengthened. We don't judge others. We rejoice in what God is doing. Now, there's a time to speak admonition into someone's life who is maybe needing admonition. But when someone is rejoicing because of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice. And so I rejoice with each of you here. We want to be strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to add a long list to salvation. Paul, in seeking, pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, he wasn't adding a whole list of things to do to get salvation. Salvation was his propelling, motivating force in his life. The love of Christ constrained him. And so I'm just going to rejoice with each one of you and your testimony, how God has drawn you to himself. I was just thinking about the children for a minute. And children, I want to give you a good verse to memorize. And the fact is, let's all turn to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 12. We don't want to make salvation a complicated thing. We don't want to make it a discouraging thing. We want to make it a beautiful thing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse here, I'm going to read it, and then we're going to all read it together, because I'd like for the children to get a hold of this verse. It's very simple. It says this: He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, that's about as simple as you can reduce it to. And if you look at this verse, there's not a word in it that's more than one syllable. I mean, this is a pretty basic understanding. They're all single syllable words. But the truth that comes forth here, may it keep our focus on our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Jonah cried from the belly of the whale at the bottom of the sea. Salvation is of the Lord, because nobody else can reach him down there. And it's beautiful. Let's say that verse together. Verse 12. Everyone. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Every person that's ever lived on the face of the earth is in that verse. Let's be among those that have the Son and have life. I just want to be encouraged in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's not come together in judgment one of another, but let's come together rejoicing in what God has done and what God is doing in each other's life. Paul said, I thank my God on every remembrance of you. And one other place it says of Paul, when he saw the brethren, it says when Peter saw them, he thanked God and gave courage. And I wanted to read one more verse that's in the book of Acts that Paul spoke when he considered all the trials that we come through. Verse 22 of 14 says that he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Much tribulation. I want to bless you folks, those of you who have found the Lord Jesus Christ. Came out of religion, came out of customs, came out of tradition, and found the Lord Jesus Christ. And that finding is not liberty to do whatever you want to do. It's just you're set free from sin to follow Him. That's such a joy. Getting into a charity church doesn't save you. Amen? Getting out of an Amish church doesn't save you either. Jesus Christ is our salvation. I just want to make a point of that, just in exhorting here. That's what's in our heart. We want to bless you. We see that testimony in the countenance upon your faces. I want to give a short word of exhortation here today on love, which is basically what I've been heading up to here, a deep love. I always have a concern, even in the message that we just preached this morning, because I've been told my personality doesn't come across in a loving way. But I want to assure us of something. Love has many aspects. Love has mercy. Love has tenderness. Love has discernment. These are all aspects of love. Love has discipline. Love has judgment. Love has forgiveness. Love has suffering wrongfully. Love has sacrifice. And love has salvation. I'm going to make a couple comments here about love will do even more than theology and knowledge. But first I want to say what love will do, how it leads us to salvation. I want to just read you, and you don't need to turn here, but I want to read in Luke, I believe it's chapter 5. I've always loved the story here of this woman. I hope it's Luke chapter 5 here. I didn't look this up. And Levi made him a great feast in his house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with him. I think I've got the wrong passage here. I'm just going to tell you what it says. This woman who came in to Jesus in the house of Simon, that's the little story I wanted. She sat down, she wept when she saw Jesus. She wept so hard that she washed his feet. I've thought about that. I've tried to picture that many tears to literally wash feet. This woman was convicted. And she dried them, I think, with the hairs of her head. And Simon was sitting in judgment, just like I was in the Church of the Nazarene there. And Jesus said, this woman, this is the phrase I want, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. That's salvation. Do you remember what it says why? Why did Jesus say, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much? There's salvation in love. We can't just come to the Lord because we understand theology. Brothers and sisters, let's have this thing be a heart emotion. Some people say there's no emotion in this, and that's not right. Love has emotion in it. Love stirs. Where'd all those tears come from that woman that Jesus blessed? Those tears had emotion in them, every one of them. And so I want to encourage us in that. Love has those things. I just want to have a little meditation here on 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And this little meditation here is going to be an encouragement to you folks as you operate as a fellowship, a church family. I'm going to read this whole chapter. If you're going to give a title to this chapter, and you can give it a title to this little exhortation if you'd like to, but love limits liberty. It does. It's very, very scriptural. I want to read this passage, then I want to make a couple comments about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol, unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? He's just saying there, if someone sees you doing something, they're going to have more liberty to do it if they see you do it. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. It would be interesting to just hear the expressions of your heart of how you see the brothers and sisters in your church family. And we give liberty to for the Spirit of God to move someone. Probably everyone here has left a fellowship, you know. But God has brought this group together, and God wants this group to have a witness of Christ in this community that would make Christ beautiful. That would be, as it were, an invitation for others to take part and to become a part of it. It says here, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And so there are some things that I'm going to broaden this out. I don't want to just talk about meat offered to idols. There are some things that we have knowledge. We know some things are okay. But Paul's burden really comes out. There's a big part of his burden in verse 9 that says, but take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours. We have knowledge that some things are okay, therefore we have liberty. But take heed, lest this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Could you hear this from the heart of God this afternoon? You may have knowledge that some things are okay, but knowledge puffs up, but charity edifieth. What Paul is saying here to the Corinthians, I know you guys are theologians. I know you brothers understand a lot of things. You're not lacking in knowledge. You're lacking in love. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Paul is making a plea. And I'm going to take Paul's plea to the Corinthians and just bring it right here to the brothers at Allen County. You have knowledge. You've come out of some tradition, and you've gained a lot of knowledge. But knowledge puffs up. But charity edifieth. That's why we need to rejoice in what God is doing in each other's lives. And if it's at a different level than where we are, hey, we just get below them and serve. We're willing to minister into each other's lives. I remember when I was courting my wife, dating my wife. We dated back then. And I had always gone to young folks camp. I enjoyed it. It was just a time when all the young folks got together. And my wife, Twyla, was not raised. She was raised as wrong to go to that young folks camp. I always went to it. It's what just some of the liberal ones at our church did. Well, she was raised in the other camp and just didn't do that. And so here's Dale and Twyla now, and we're courting. We're dating, and people are watching and wondering what's going to happen at young folks camp, you know. And I took a very clear stand. I loved my girlfriend at the time. I wasn't about to go to young folks camp. I loved young folks camp. I knew it was fine. I was blessed. I was excited about it every year. I'd gone for 10 years straight, and there was a lot of responsibility. It was kind of landing on me, but I just told him, I'm staying home. I'm courting a girlfriend that has my heart. Well, Dale, we need you up there. Well, amen. I'd love to be there, but I'd love more to show my love to Twyla. I was glad to stay home. And it's interesting. You know what happened the next year? She went with me. It's beautiful. I mean, sometimes these things really come together in an exciting way, but it doesn't happen unless we're willing to operate out of love. I was motivated by love. I know that's what it was. And she knew that's what it was. And her folks knew that's what it was. And the testimonies, I'd love to hear all of your testimonies of how that has happened. When Twyla and I left the German Baptist Church, I mean, her folks, I got a letter. I wouldn't even show my wife. It was so harsh. And down the road, we didn't condemn. I took it all. I blessed my father for his words. I said, you're right. I have needs. I need help. That's why I'm making the change. You're right. And down the road, now, it's just amazing. He would greet me. Now, you may not understand this, but you might. He would greet me in front of the standing committee. Because he is so convinced that God is moving in our hearts. He can see it. He can see that, look, they weren't trying to get more of the world. It was God moving. And down the road, it's just amazing some of the things that can happen when we bless and get below someone and serve them. I just want to be encouragement to you here in the fellowship. Knowledge puffeth up. If I wanted to take the stand of knowledge and prove to my little girlfriend that this camp is good, it'd probably been the end of it. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. It's just amazing how it works. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, so if there's anybody here that thinks, okay, I'm one of them that has knowledge, I understand this stuff, well, hold on. If you have knowledge, if any man think that he knoweth anything, hold on, you don't know anything compared to what God knows or to what you even ought to know. You've got an awful lot of loopholes. So be careful with that knowledge that we all have. That knowledge that's so limited that we have puffs up. True knowledge, I think, doesn't puff up. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. If our love for God is in place, our love for each other is going to grow. It just is. I've always liked that poem. There's a poem that I've liked. And it's not even a spiritual poem. It's just I like poems. And it's about this old man. He was, his wife had died 40 years ago. And he was an old man. And he had buried her. And he went back to her grave. I think one verse of that poem says that the grass on her grave has 40 years been growing. But he went back there just to remember. And he stood there by that grave and he remembered when him and his wife were good friends in school. They loved each other even in school. And he was remembering this day at school when there was a spelling bee. And he wanted to win the spelling bee. And when it was his turn, and he was standing right beside this little girl that he liked, and she liked him. And he misspelled the word, so he had to take a seat. And it was her turn to spell it, and she spelled it right. And she won the spelling bee. And when school was out, he was remembering all the boys went dashing out. And there's a verse there, if I could remember it, I'd love to quote that. She came up to him after school and she said this, I'm sorry that I spelled the word. I hate to rise above you because her brown eyes lower fell because you see, I love you. He lives to learn in life's hard school how few who rise above him lament their triumph and his loss, like her, because they love Him. And if we could bring that into church life, it would just be such a marvelous thing. I just want to encourage us that this chapter is basically saying when love is great enough, you are willing to limit your liberty. You're willing to get below your brother and just serve him. I want to move down here into verse 8. Meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. There are many things that come up in life, and I put them to what I call the 1 Corinthians 8 test. I just put it to test, and it's right here in verse 8. Take meat out and just put in there whatever it is you're talking about. For whatever it is, commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worst. I put anything to that test. When I was in the German Baptist, we weren't supposed to have Bible studies unless there was an elder or somebody with us to make sure everything stayed in line. And there's some wisdom in that, but the encouragement wasn't necessarily to be in the Word, you know. And so I just took it to the test, okay? If I'm in the Word here, am I better if I do it? And if I don't do it, am I the worse? It was pretty clear. No, I'm better if I'm in the Word. And I'm worse if I'm not. Brothers and sisters, you don't owe it to anybody to not be in the Word. You be in the Word. But there were some of us didn't want us to go ice skating at an ice rink. And I kind of wanted to. Well, I just put it to the test. Well, if I went, am I better? No, I wouldn't be better. If I didn't go, was I worse? No, I wouldn't be worse. Okay, so I just laid it down. It's kind of a nice little test here. You can just put it to the 1 Corinthians 8 test and then bring love into it. I just presented the theology, but bring love into it. Bring the emotion into it. I am glad to not do that for my brother's sake. Fact is, instead of that, I'll spend the evening with you and we'll just have some sweet fellowship. And that produces things that theology will never produce. Want to encourage you that way. Take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. When we insist on our liberty, even if something is okay, what we're talking about here is something that is okay. Paul said it was okay to eat meat offered to idols. I know who made the meat. I know who gets the glory. And I'm hungry. I'm good to go. He could eat the stuff. No problem. But what'd he say? I'm not going to eat it as long as the world stands. This is something that's okay to do. He wasn't going to do it. And I want to just throw in real quick here in Romans 14, because this is such a common passage. In verse 20, it says this. For meat destroy not the work of God. God is working in your brother's life and in yours. All things indeed are pure. In other words, it's okay to eat meat. That's the example here. But, in other words, something that's pure here. I mean, look at this. All things indeed are pure. He doesn't argue. He said, it is okay, but it is evil. Well, look at that. Something that's okay just turned evil right here in one verse. If it, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. If him insisting on his liberty causes someone else to stumble, that thing that's okay to do just became evil. And where's love? What about love? We're glad to not do something that's going to cause our brother to stumble. And you know, many times we think of the weak brother as somebody we're kind of at odds with, but I want to tell you who the weak brother usually is. Would you listen very carefully here? This is who the weak brother is. Your children. That's who's probably going to do it because you do it. That's who's probably going to not have cautions and take a little extra liberty because you insist on yours. It's not the brother that you're at odds with. It's probably your children. You're probably talking about your children here. That would be the first application. And verse 11 says, "And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died?" You won't take admonition. You won't take rebuke. You know this thing's okay. And you're going to stick by your guns and insist on it. And your children are just sitting there watching. And they're just simply going to take more liberty because you're insisting on yours. And it's going to be more liberty than what you could even give them. And verse 12, "But when ye sin so against the brethren," look at this. This is doing something that's okay now. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about something that's pure. It's okay. And if you insist on it, instead of loving them and willing to lay it down, you sin against the brethren. Now you're sinning, doing something that's okay, because you don't have love. You have knowledge, but you don't have love, and you sin against the brethren, and it doesn't end there. Look at this. "When ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ." This thing is very serious if we insist on our liberties. We know that the message of all of this is not just to have some little weak person calling out all the shots. We're going to just head right there and give some admonition. We're going to do that. That's our job, and we're going to be faithful. And if it's not getting done, come and talk to us. We will work on this thing, but the principle of love will never fail. I know that you all would have testimonies where you could share, and it would be an encouragement to all of us. I just want to thank you. I'm going to bring it to a close here. Take this word of encouragement to work together, to need each other, to love one another, and to be members one of another. It's a blessing that will produce a godly seed, and I want to encourage you in it. We love you. We're glad to be here, and we just want to be an encouragement. We want to bring that word this afternoon. God bless you.